One of the concepts that I want you to learn is attending church services doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in water makes you a fish.
You can't become a Christian by going to God's house. You've got to invite Him into yours. Hi, everybody. I'm Dave Dino. And of course, God wants us to do more than simply become Christians. He wants us to become disciples. And today on The Tide, Pastor Dwayne Pottinger outlines a biblical framework for spiritual growth, one that can help all of us develop a deeper, more intimate relationship with God. Today's message is straight ahead, but first let's join Dwayne for some opening thoughts. Dwayne, spiritual growth is a prominent subject in the New Testament, particularly, I know, in the Pauline epistles. You're going to be covering some of that today, but could you talk for a moment about some of the most serious obstacles to spiritual growth?
Dave, it seems like everywhere we turn, there are obstacles in our pathway. It seems like the road to heaven is an uphill climb all the way, but there are several that do come to mind. One is obviously that there is a strong influence from modern media. We can't underestimate the influence of society and culture around us that is constantly pulling us away from Christianity and just is inundating us with secular concepts, philosophies that are contrary to God's Word. Everywhere we look, whether it's on television programs, commercials, magazines, billboards, radio, we are being blasted with a godless philosophy that challenges us to really stay on the edge for Christ. But then there is the spiritual apathy. We tend to, in the culture, begin to become a little careless, lethargic about our spiritual condition. So that's an issue as well. Amidst all of these things that are happening around us, we lose our eternal perspective. And we have adopted a live-for-now philosophy of life. Let's get what we can. Let's do what we can. Let's enjoy. It's like the scripture says, eat, drink, and be merry. But we're not realizing that we are being numbed and dumbed down, as I've already said, to Satan's venom. We've been bitten by the serpent and have lost that spiritual perspective and desire for growth.
When we use words like discipline or maturity and responsibility, some people begin to raise their eyebrows because, well, they've confused obedience with legalism. Can you briefly explain the difference for us?
I think obedience sometimes can be handled in a way where it does feel legalistic. But obedience should be a desire motivated out of love, out of a loving response to the one who calls us to follow. Where that turns to legalism is where we begin to demand. It's an external pressure to conform to the request. Obedience comes from the inside. Legalism comes from the outside. It's a pressure that's put on us. Obedience is a willing desire from within. And I think that is perhaps my understanding of what the clearest definition is between obedience and legalism.
When Jesus calls us to obedience, He's motivated by love, not legalism. He longs to see us grow spiritually so that He can fill us with more joy and more peace and more blessing. Now to hear more, let's join Dwayne for his message, Training and Equipping Believers.
Dr. Madison Surratt taught mathematics at Vanderbilt University for many years. Before giving a test, he would admonish his students like this. Today, he said, today I am giving two examinations, one in trigonometry and one in honesty. He said, I hope you will pass them both. If you must fail one, fail trigonometry. There are many people in the world who can't pass trig, but there are no good people in the world who cannot pass the examination of honesty.
You see, I want to talk to you today about being taught, trained, and equipped, not just in the world, but in the Word, the ways of God, so that someday you will make heaven your home. You see, God's desire and goal for you is that you would become godly. Not that you just have a knowledge about Him, that you would become godly. He's not as interested in your comfort as He is in your character. Amen? He's not as interested in your success as He is in your soul. And growing spiritually means becoming more like Christ in who you are and who your character. It doesn't happen automatically. And therefore, we need to submit ourselves to teaching and training and equipping so that His Word, as we apply it and live it out, will change us. Do you believe the Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword? But it doesn't change us until we get into the Word, until the Word gets into us. And then it begins to transform us by the power of our Word, His Word. You see, our time here on earth is allowed for us or given to us to train and equip us in preparation for eternity. Most of the time, this happens not by some dramatic or powerful experience. It happens in soft, simple whispers of the Holy Spirit. It happens in the ahas when we look into the Word and go, oh. It happens through those comments a pastor or preacher or evangelist will make, or a teacher in a Sunday school class, and we go, that was good. Let me chew on that. And we take that and we swallow it and we digest it and we make it part of who we are. That's how transformation takes place the majority of the time. It's not through some power encounter, although those are valuable. And we all need those from time to time, where the Spirit of God just comes and, whoo, it's so good and so fresh. And we take a drink of His Spirit. You see, spiritual growth, the Bible compares spiritual growth to at least three things. They give us pictures, these analogies, helping us understand the need to grow. One is the seed, a seed. It must be planted, it must be cultivated. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. Okay, there's the concept there. The second one is a building. A building must be built. It doesn't just show up one day. There's work to be done. Scripture says, 1 Corinthians 3:9, you are God's field, you are God's building. You must be worked, plowed, planted, harvested, building, foundation, block, wood, timbers, beams, roof. All of it involves the concept of training, equipping, so that we can be built up. The third concept is one of a child. We must eat, exercise, and mature. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish ways behind me. I put childish ways behind me. Now, each one of these three snapshots includes the concept of being taught, cultivated, added to, and fed to grow. Let's look at what God's desire is for us. If you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Now, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's trying to give some explanation. He's talking about God, where he begins in verse 11. He says, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Why? Why would God do this? He answers the question. To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become what? I can't hear you. And become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, he's going to make some comparison between the mature person and the immature person, the trained and the untrained, the equipped and the unequipped. Look as he goes on, verse 14. Then In other words, when we're trained and equipped, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head. That is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I see in verse 11 that God raises up leaders specifically for the purpose of to train and equip believers. Now, the leader's role, we've talked about this in the past. Spiritual leader's role in the church. I'm not just talking about pastors. I'm talking about older men and older women. As we grow up and mature in Christ, guess what our role is? Our role is to teach and train and equip other believers. One of the signs that you're maturing and growing in Christ is you'll desire to invest that knowledge in other people. Some of you might say, I don't have the gifts and abilities. Well, you might not have a gift to get up and teach a classroom of 100, but my guess is you can share with one. You can sit down and study the Word of God together with one. You can go to lunch together or a coffee, and you can talk and share your personal testimony. Let's go on. But the believer's role is to be teachable. You see, if the leader's role is to teach, then the believer's role is to be teachable. Now, secondly, I notice in verse 12, believers are trained and equipped for works of service. Whatever that service, whatever that ministry is in the world, holding a door for somebody and say, God bless you. Have a good day. Do you know God loves you? Jesus died for you. We are to be trained and equipped so we know how to do works of service that exalt Jesus Christ, that honor our God, that build the kingdom of God. Are you out there? That's what this is about. That's what church is about. You see, we've somehow lost our purpose and our vision in life. We've somehow got to the place where we think if we just accept Jesus and are just faithful in attendance and tithing and you know, kind of acting Christian in our society, it's okay. That's not enough. We've got to move forward and keep growing, keep being trained and equipped in our spiritual journey. Number three, I see it in verse 12. We are to build the body of Christ. That means adding to and educating for growth and maturity. We all have a part in the building. Colossians 3:16 says, teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Number four, Christ-likeness, knowledge, unity, and service are signs of maturity. Friends, if those things are not maturing, are not manifesting themselves in our lives as believers, we're not maturing in Christ. If those things are not growing and becoming more abundant in our life, there's a problem. We need to grow up in Christ. Number five, spiritual stability and continued growth are signs of being trained and equipped. A six-year-old boy came home from school rejected from his first day at school, and he announced, I'm not going to school tomorrow. Why not? His mom asked. The boy answered, I can't read, I can't write, and they won't let me talk, so what's the use of going back to school? Well, you and I all know the answer. When we started school, we couldn't read, we couldn't write, and some of us may still... No, I won't. I still struggle, as you can tell. But we know the value of going to school. It gave us an education. Why do people pay hundreds of thousands of dollars and live half their lifetime under college debts? Because they understand the value of education. Why haven't we learned or valued education in the church? Have you ever stopped to wonder that? We'll pay big bucks to go get a class at college and get a degree at the end of our name so we can get a job. But when will we transfer and understand the value of getting trained and equipped in the church so we'll be able to do His job? Now, here's some insights on being trained and equipped. Flip over in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to do this real quick. verses 11 through 14. He says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain. Notice what he says. Because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. Well, he's condemning them. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Let me just lift several points from this. One's very obvious. It's a human problem. One, we are slow to learn. We are slow to learn. We've heard it, but we don't get it. We hear it again, and we say, oh yeah, I knew that, but I haven't applied it. I told you this before, but one of my seminary profs would repeat things in class. And he said, some of you guys out there wonder why I repeat things. He says, because I've learned repetition teaches a donkey. I think I do know what he was implying. Anyway, secondly, being trained and equipped is a step toward maturity. You see, if we're serious about wanting to grow in Christ and wanting to mature, then we will pursue training and education, equipping in Christ, because we understand what it will do for us. Not because we have the time necessarily or feel like it, but because we understand the benefit of doing it. Three, we are trained and equipped so we can train and equip. That's God's desire for us. We put our hand up to somebody who can teach us what they're learning, and while we're doing that, we put our hand down to somebody who doesn't know that yet, and we pass it on to them. That's God's model for ministry. Passing on what we learn to somebody else who hasn't yet learned that. Four, immaturity is revealed in not being trained and equipped. Or I could say it this way. Immaturity is revealed in not being willing to be trained and equipped. It's sort of a spirit of arrogance or pride. Why do I need to go there? Why do I need to sit in that class? You see, if we humble ourselves, a humble attitude would say, I want to learn that. I want to make sure I understand what we're doing and where we're going and how I can do it better. Number five, being trained and equipped will assist in keeping us from evil. In Titus 2:12, it says this, referring to God's Word, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. That's what ongoing teaching, training, and equipping will do. When we get into the Word, it will keep us from sin and evil. And then the writer of Hebrews said this in Hebrews 6:1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. You know, sometimes we would feel more comfortable if the preacher would just talk about the cross and the blood of Jesus. And yes, we need to talk about that. If we just talk about heaven and eternity, oh yeah, we need to hear about that. But the truth is, probably everybody, at least most people under the sound of my voice, have already heard that. We know that. And there are times we need to be reminded. But where we really need challenge in the areas of constantly being trained and equipped to keep growing. Leaving the elementary issues of our faith. Not that we deny them or ignore them, but leaving them behind as foundational so we can build the kingdom. Now, let me say this. We don't seek to be trained and equipped so we can walk around proud and arrogant about how much I know. No, that's the wrong motive. We should treat our training and being equipped for the Lord like we would treat a pocket watch. You don't go around flashing your gold pocket watch to everybody as you pass. No, no. But when you're asked the time, you're ready to tell them. Right? And so if you're trained and equipped as a believer and you can teach and train and equip others, you don't go walking around flaunting how much you know. And no, but when you're asked the question and when you're given the opportunity to teach, you pull out the knowledge and you share it. And it's exciting, it's rewarding, it's fulfilling. The mission of the church is defined. Jesus defined it in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. He said, therefore, He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. And then what did he say? Teaching them. See, that's in his great commission. He wants us to teach, to equip, to train people. Colossians 1, 28 through 29, he says, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Paul said, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. If you actually go on and read Colossians chapter 2, you'll see he talks about the importance of being trained and equipped, especially in verses 1 through 5. You might want to look at that, Colossians 2, 1 through 5. Now, you see, one of the concepts that I want you to learn is attending church services doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in water makes you a fish. You've got to get into training and equipping opportunities, get into the Word until the Word gets into you, until you are made a person of Christ through the power of His Word. You see, the local church is like a bank. The more you put into it, the greater your interest. God's Word is like a bank. The more you get into it, the more interest you'll have. Prayer is like a bank. The more you get into it and put into it, the more interest you'll have. Invest yourself. There are three people problems in the church. There is misuse, the unqualified people. We just put them in and they have lack of training. You know, we have holes. We got to fill people. We got to get people in. The misuse of people, unqualified, lack training. Then there is the disuse, the uninvolved people. And they lack commitment. Then there's another problem, and that's the abuse, the overworked people. And they lack help. Go back to that 80-20 principle. 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. This quote by James W.C. Pennington was interesting. He talked about the impact of not being educated, not being equipped. He said this, "There is one sin that slavery committed against me which I can never forgive. It robbed me of my education. The injury is irreparable." I want to take that quote and put a challenge to you. Don't let Satan steal away from you the opportunity to be taught, trained, and equipped. Take advantage of it. God will use it to transform your life. Well, there are so many things I'd love to share, but let's finish up with preparing to be trained and equipped. Let me just give you those quickly. Here's what I would suggest you do. Receive God's Word. Receive it with an open heart. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, amen, Lord. Do that in me. Secondly, read God's Word personally. Read it with an open, hungry heart. Say, God, show me what you want me to learn today. Three, research God's Word. Look at some of the notes. If you have a study Bible, read that section. If you have, as you're reading through the verses, you'll see little letters. Look what the verse number is. Look at the center column or look at the bottom of your page. Look for that number in that letter. It'll give you an explanation. Do a little more study than just simply reading the words. Number four, remember God's Word. And number five, reflect on God's Word. Soak in it. Marinate in God's Word. Thomas Huxley said, "Perhaps the most valuable result of all education is the ability to make yourself do the thing you have to do when it ought to be done, whether you like it or not. It is the first lesson that ought to be learned." I would encourage you to ask God to make you hungry to learn and grow, that there be a fresh excitement and relationship in your walk with God.
You wouldn't go without eating for a month, would you? Our spirits, like our bodies, cannot grow without proper nourishment. And as Duane said today, the Bible is that nourishment. Now, for some final thoughts, let's join our director, Don Schenk, who's in studio with Duane. Fellas?
Right. Well, Duane, in India, as our listeners are aware, that we do periodically give updates on the work that we're doing in India. Two specific individuals that I'd like to mention are Uday Singh and Bhagwan Das. Now, these are two men who travel independently, working in different areas or different states in India, And they go around and visit people throughout India, throughout these states, primarily to spend time with people who have written in response to the broadcasts. They will visit villages in various areas. They will go to see those who have written in response to help to more fully explain the Christian faith, because there are many people who write and they say, you know, send us more information, or we'd like to know more about this. So a large part of their work is this follow-up to our radio broadcasts. At times they're able to work together with a local pastor or a local congregation that does exist to help bring these people into an area where they can get the training, the discipleship, and the nourishment, the ongoing ministry that they really need. These two men have an additional duty. That if those who have been following our program know that we're trying now to place radios in villages throughout India. So as radios become available through gifts from and donations from our listeners, Bhagwan and Uday have the joy of delivering these to villages and assigning them to people who will look after them and make them available for others to listen to. So I'd ask that you pray for Uday and Bhagwan, because their ministry is quite crucial in helping our listeners there in India to be able to really solidify their faith.
Don, you've been talking about our outreach around the world and about us providing radios in India, but I think we need to let our listening audience here in America know the financial crisis we are facing.
That's true, Duane. Sometimes I wonder if we haven't done too good of a job of promoting our mission work overseas and not really talked enough about our ministry here in the U.S. You're right. I do need to make our listeners aware that we are in a financial crisis right now. We need support for our local broadcasts here in the U.S. I want to make our listeners aware of that. We are totally a listener-supported ministry. We have no other source of income. And at the present time, we are in a very tight situation, actually considering the possibility, facing the prospect of having to cut back on our broadcasting activities here in the U.S. And we haven't really decided yet at this point what stations we might be having to withdraw from. But that is a serious need, and I ask you to prayerfully consider what you can do to help support this ministry, to help keep us on the air, along with keeping our ministry going overseas.
As you can see, with your help, we are not only making converts in India, we are making disciples. Through your gift today of $25 or more, you can continue meeting the needs among people who are hungry for the gospel. To make a donation, call us today, toll-free, 1-877-859-5484. Again, that's 1-877-859-5484. Now, as always, today's program, Training and Equipping Believers, is available for a gift of any size. To receive your copy, call and ask for tape or CD number 0421. Or send your request to the Tide at P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. In Canada, write to us at P.O. Box 2513, Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario, L4E1A6. And when you contact us, be sure you ask how you can receive a subscription to the Tide broadcast in CD format. To find out more about our ongoing work in India, or to hear an encore presentation of today's program, please visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. Now, it's all you need. It makes the world go round, and it doesn't cost a thing. We're talking about love. Next week on The Tide, that's the topic. Until then, I'm Dave Dino, thanking you for tuning into The Tide, touching hearts on shores worldwide.